Well, good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. It seems like 3 months ago that New Year's was to me, but I hope you're all as happy as I am to be back in the routine of women's Bible study. But when we met last, Catherine explained how Jesus challenged and exposed the Pharisees' wrong thinking. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13, which actually takes place later the same day as chapter 12. So even though a month has gone by for us, just a couple hours in Matthew. So up until this point in the life of Jesus, people had heard him speak and had witnessed miracles, but many didn't see the spiritual significance or understand that these miracles were from and pointed to Jesus as the Messiah and as their Messiah. Chapter 13 is the first time in Matthew that we've heard Jesus speak in parables. And he starts six of these seven parables with, "The kingdom of heaven is like." But what is this kingdom of heaven that Jesus was referring to? Tim Keller defines the kingdom of heaven as the power of God in heaven entering the world to heal every alienation and every brokenness, whether it is social, economical, racial, emotional, psychological, physical, or spiritual. Pretty much covers it all. We often talk about the gospel as Christians, but sometimes it's hard to specifically know what that is. The gospel is the kingdom of heaven being revealed and offered to us by Jesus, and is ours to specifically know, and is ours through faith in him. The parables he shares were meant to help explain this through stories using real life examples that people in biblical times could understand, if they wanted to understand. He meant for the parables to challenge people to think and to dig deep to glean their meaning. I'd like for us to consider these parables and how they challenge us to examine how are you responding to Jesus. So in the parable of the sower, we have how are you responding to the words of Jesus? And how are you responding to the work by Jesus in your lives and heart in the parable of the mustard seed? And how are you responding to the call by Jesus that you live your faith out in an obvious way, as highlighted by the wheat and the weeds parable? In the parable of the sower, we have the same sower, which is God, casting forth the same seed, being the word of God, to different types of soil, which represent the hearts of men. The word of God is how we hear and learn about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus explains four different responses to the words. The resistant listener, where the seed is on the hard path. The shallow listener, where the seed is falling on rocky soil. The distracted listener, where the seed is growing among thorns. And then the fruitful listener. So I'd like to go briefly through each listener and read an excerpt of Jesus' own commentary on this parable. It's not often that we get to cite Jesus as a commentator for his own teaching. Listen how Jesus' commentary explains the resistant listener with a hard heart. This is where the seed fell on the path. He says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart." The resistant listener has contact with the word of God, but no root to take hold. This person is an easy subject for the evil one, Satan, to harden his heart. The hard-hearted listener goes through the motions, but walks away unchanged and unconcerned with the things of God. Hear how Charles Spurgeon describes this type of listener. "The word of the gospel lies upon the surface of such a heart, but never enters it. Like the snow which sometimes falls upon our streets, drops on the wet pavement, melts and is gone at once, so is it with this man. The word has not time to quicken in his soul. It lies there in an instant, but it never strikes root or takes the slightest effect." Next, the shallow listener. And when referring to the shallow listener, Jesus states, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, endures it for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The shallow listener has superficial enthusiasm for the word when life is going well by their definition, but turns away to rely on themselves when suffering appears. Their perception of Jesus changes with their personal experiences. They want to be in control of the outcome and desire to get out of suffering instead of be with Jesus through it. Tim Keller describes a shallow listener as someone who thought they were entering Christ's kingdom, but really what was happening was that they were trying to get Christ to enter their kingdom. And they were trying to get Christ really to fulfill their agenda. They wanted a blesser, not a savior. They wanted a sugar daddy, not a king. They wanted help and relief, not salvation. They saw Jesus as a service provider. As long as they had services provided, they had joy. As soon as he was no longer helping them meet their goals, they had it with him, which showed that things they really worshiped were the things they had lost in the heat. Looking back, I realized when I first understood Christ died for my sins, I saw him as Savior, but not as Lord. I had my focus on what being a believer was going to get me, which I believe was instant happiness and friends. In my daily life then, I did not comprehend that Jesus was King of the kingdom and not me. I was a shallow listener. Let's look at the distracted listener. Jesus' commentary describes this person, "As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." The distracted listener has a divided heart that seems to have real faith based on the word, but has too much focus on worldly cares. With this person, Jesus' word is in competition with the attention grabbers of this world, like status, work, comfort, money, or phones. For example, just last week, I was completely consumed by my work, trying to give my best to our customers while giving the worst to my family and zero time to the Lord. My divided heart stunts the growth of the fruit that Jesus wants to produce, the fruits of the Spirit. Instead, the distracted listener produces fruit that the world values. In my case, my work customers love my attention to them, but then my priority is centered around them and the elated feeling I get when they praise me and the joy I get when I can cross them off my list. This is not the priority agenda that Christ has for me. Lastly, for this parable, let's look at the fruitful listeners. Jesus' priority and the desire for our lives is described as for what was sown in the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and another 30. From the outside looking in, one can see a fruitful listener has open ears and wants to learn, and shows evidence of the fruit of Jesus in their lives. As fruitful listeners, we remain and abide in him, and we walk by the Spirit that allows the love of God to shine through us. Is this good soil without any rocks, the suffering, or any thorns, the outside priorities tempting to distract us? No, the fruitful listener, by God's grace, perseveres through the suffering and distractions and claims the truth of Jesus for their own. Now note on the quantity of fruit that Jesus refers to. There's no requirement to produce equal harvests of fruit. He says some will yield 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. He wants measurable fruitfulness from us. For example, as a full-time worker in the business world, I may look at a full-time Christian ministry worker and feel inept and fruitless. But that full-time Christian ministry worker can look at a Christian author and feel incompetent and ineffective themselves. And so on. God wants us to dwell in the place he has under our feet with the gifts he has given us and not get distracted by where someone else is. Now, it is part of the human experience to not always have hearts like the good soil, fruitful hearts, 24/7. Every believer falters, and we do progress unevenly. So we are fruitless for a wintry season, but trust in Jesus that we will bear fruit again. To sum up the parable of the sower, Jesus asks us to evaluate our listening to the word. Has the word of God taken root in you? Are you satisfied with how you are responding to the words of Jesus? Jesus doesn't describe the soils in these different categories to shame or scare us, but to invite us and to provoke self-examination that leads us to call out to him for help, to ask him, the soil changer, to make our hearts fruitful. Next, let's look at the mustard seed and how are you responding to the work by Jesus in your life and heart. The mustard seed was the smallest of all seeds commonly used by people in biblical times, and that seed could grow into a 15 to 20 foot tree, large enough for birds to build their nests in. In the same way, the kingdom of heaven started with Jesus on earth, born in a small town, a seemingly insignificant carpenter living among his people. But the kingdom of heaven has and will become increasingly more obvious. And just like the birds build their nests in the mustard tree, the kingdom of heaven will provide comfort and a haven for all who are part of it. The kingdom of heaven didn't enter in a typically earthly kingdom gets created by force or war or overthrow of power. It started slowly, as a seed does. For my gardener friends, you know, as you plant a seed or a bulb, it doesn't sprout up immediately. It has to grow down and create roots first to stabilize its growth. But it does seem like there's no growth occurring for a while. Likewise, God is accomplishing his purposes, even if we struggle to see it sometimes. The amazing thing is that God's kingdom is growing even during suffering and darkness. This world is broken and full of trials, but God's kingdom is expanding. There's a personal message here also to each of us in this parable. Just as the tiny mustard seed grows, Jesus takes our tiny faith and opens our eyes and ears to him. The parable of the mustard seed has special meaning to me. When I was 12, my mom gave me this heart charm, and it has a mustard seed in it. She gave me that because her father had given her a similar one right before she went and led a devotion about faith and the mustard seed at a Christian camp 60 years ago. Her gift was a tangible reminder to me that Jesus would work in my life. I didn't realize then, but my faith was tiny. I was exposed to the words of Jesus, but didn't understand the need to have a relationship with him, to be my Lord and Savior. I didn't know I needed him to shape and mold me. How is it that this tiny mustard seed grows? And what does God do to transform us? Personally, I want to be changed to be more like Jesus by sitting on my recliner with my tea in my hand and my dogs on my lap. But that has not led to very much heart changing. He has transformed my heart and revolutionized my life, definitely through many blessings, but the largest transformations came during crises through a series of fires. One of the most significant and painful trials for me was a cancer diagnosis I had a little over 3 years ago. It was a rare form of cancer found in my kidney, and it had a significant chance of recurrence. My initial reaction to my diagnosis was despair over my kids and their future. I didn't want them to grow up without a mom. My dad had died when I was 20, and that was hard enough. They were 10 and 12 at that point, and I didn't want them to experience the death of a parent at such a young age. If I had faith as large as a mustard seed, would that mean that I would be healed of cancer? No. God used and is using this to grow my faith and my dependence on Him and to shine a light on what my priorities were in my life. The truth I learned was that I may not be healed, but it was 100% guarantee that Jesus would be with me. He would never leave or forsake us. By His mercy and grace, He has allowed me to be cancer-free for 3 years. But if not, I know He will give me grace to walk through it again, and He will give grace and sustain my children and husband. David Powelson, in an article, Don't Waste Your Cancer, talks about when God works in us through trials. He wrote, "Our Father works a most kind good through our most grievous losses, sometimes healing and restoring the body, always sustaining and teaching us that we might know and love Him more simply. In the testing ground of evils, your faith becomes deep and real, and your love becomes purposeful and wise." Through cancer and other challenges, God, in His infinite grace, has changed me into a person that I don't recognize from my teen and early adult years. Recall how Paul states in Philippians 1:6, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Are you fighting against growth and changes that Jesus wants to do in you? Are you drying out the soil or watering it and allowing your seed to grow? Or are you coasting along? Perhaps in your personal circumstances, it feels like your faith's too weak. It doesn't even feel like a mustard seed is there. But the Spirit of God is in you, and His people are around you, right here. In this room, we probably have all kinds of soils, all different sizes of faith seeds, and God has given to each of us as a family of faith to help each other through encouragement and prayer. Again, Jesus does not tell these parables to shame or scare people, but to invite them and provoke them to a response. Lastly, let's look at the parable, the weeds among the wheat. How are you responding to Jesus' command to live your faith out in your day-to-day reality in a way that's obvious to others? In this parable, Jesus refers to two seeds, the wheat, which represents the true believers, and weeds, representing the non-believers. The weed that Jesus was referring to looks identical to the wheat in its early stages of growth, but it's worthless when full grown. The weeds have no fruit and no grain, but when they're growing, they look identical. The wheat and the weeds grow side by side until the harvest, just as believers and non-believers live side by side in today's world until the return of Jesus. It is crucial to know which kingdom you belong to, the kingdom of the heaven represented by the wheat, or the kingdom of the world represented by the weeds. And if we belong to the kingdom of heaven, we're commanded to show that to the world. If you have received the gift of salvation, is your faith evident to the world? Or are you hiding your faith among the weeds, hiding your faith to non-believing neighbors, coworkers, Facebook friends? Jesus enables us to live lives that show which kingdom we belong to. Previously, I said the kingdom of heaven will ultimately heal all brokenness, and that is true. But for today, there is still plenty of pain and sickness, warfare, conflict, and sorrow. As we struggle to live out our faith in the midst of a broken world, let's be honest. We'd all like to show our faith as we coast down the easy road to be blessed as the world defines it. But the reality is that God does bless His children in a variety of ways, and He allows us to go through suffering in a variety of ways. But that does not determine if we are a wheat or weed. What determines that is how we respond to those times of blessing and suffering, and whether we point to Jesus as King of the Kingdom. So take Carson Wentz, for example, the Eagles' multi-million-dollar quarterback. He has stood out as wheat among the weeds and has used his blessing as a platform to share Jesus. Some of you remember Kara Tippetts, a pastor's wife and mother of four, who was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. As she shared her weakness and suffering through her blog, Mundane Faithfulness, so many people were impacted by the way she clung to Jesus. Her death almost 3 years ago brought glory and worship to Jesus as she consistently lived as a radiant blaze for him. No one doubted that she loved Jesus through her journey. These sold-out followers of Jesus, and so many here in this room that I've gotten to observe and be encouraged by, are beautiful examples of what Jesus commands in Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. As we end our time this morning, I want to remind you that through these parables, Jesus is spurring us on to a decision. He who has ears, let him hear. We don't need to hear the words of Jesus' condemnation, but to hear them as a challenge and an invitation to cultivate the kingdom in our lives. How are you seeking to know and love the King, to serve the King and kingdom in your life? How do you need to ask him and others for help? We can rest in knowing that Jesus, the parable teacher, is also our heart healer and faith grower and light shiner. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for giving us the blessing of eyes to see you and the ears to hear your word. You teach us so much when our hearts are open. I pray for each woman here that you continue to grow our faith and have your light shine through us. We love you, Lord. Amen. Yay.